That means I got a love affair with narcotics. That's what drove me in here. My anniversary date is July 2nd, 1982, and I still like dope. Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, I thought that that was fitting for me to tell the truth. You understand? I think about narcotics often. You understand? But I've been here for 28 years. This is the welcome meeting of Narcotics Anonymous, and you know, that's a beautiful thing. I was coming down from Ocean City, from Clinton to Ocean City, you know, to ride down. And, you know, I had the vision of being here, so on and so forth. I had my little gangster buddy with me, you know, listening to all his war stories and all that shit, you know. He'd been to all these major penitentiaries and all this kind of thing, you know what I'm saying? But he always likes to indulge me by telling me what went down from day to day, you know. Well, I don't know how many years he stayed in that junk, right? But anyway, I was driving. And we got to that bridge, you know, so I looked at my gal. I said, you feel like driving? You understand? So I gave it a, you know, I pulled over at the booth. You understand? You know, why stress yourself if you don't have to? You know what I'm saying? She was willing to take the wheel, and I was willing to give it up, right? So anyway, she was telling me that I was in the wrong lane and stuff, because I was, you know, with the one-lane piece, and you could go across the two-lane piece, you know. So she said, you need to get in the middle, and so I maneuvered to switch seats so she could, you know, do that thing, you know, and drive across the three-lane bridge. Man, what did I do that for? Anybody come across that three-lane jump? God knows, man. You understand? Whew. You know, the traffic was coming, and you understand it. And she has that habit of straggling the line. So, and the speed limit was 40, and she was doing about 50, 60. So I started yelling and stuff. So this shit told me to shut up. So I bent down, you understand. I just went on down. I started hiding, you know what I'm saying. And I looked back, and my gangster buddy was hiding too. You understand? So that bridge piece messed me up, right? No doubt about it. No doubt about it. You know, I don't like coming across that bridge, but things are improving because I used to go to Delaware and come down, you know, just to miss the bridge, you know. Yeah. But it's wonderful getting back here to Ocean City, you know. 25 years coming down here, you know, it's, you know, I don't know how many years I came down, but you know, it's always meaningful to be with y'all. Y'all hug a nigga to death, though, man. God damn. Between the front door and here, y'all crush. Y'all be crushing, man. You know, but, you know, I was just thinking, you know, about this experience called Narcotics Anonymous. And whenever I think about Narcotics Anonymous, you know, I got to remember why I'm a member. You know, and in July 2nd of 1982, it was very clear that I didn't have the money to pay the debt that I owed. And they convinced me that if I couldn't get that money together, I was going to have a hard time breathing. Yo, so I had an opportunity, you know, the little guy who told me that, his name was Roland Brown Bay, and I knew that he had an unusual amount of respect for a guy who was 5'5". You understand? So I had the opportunity yesterday. I said, man, why did so many people respect this guy? Because I can't understand how a bunch of people move when a little guy like this come through. And my man's told me how he got his initial respect. Now, when people tell you about them old war stories and stuff, you have the opportunity not to believe it or not, which is obviously the case when I took that man's money. I was having a problem with my belief system. You know, I heard about all the murder beasts and all that stuff, right? But when he put that narcotics in my hand, you know, I couldn't recall one story. I couldn't recall anything that should stop me from doing what I want to with that package. I didn't remember that man's story until I did the last bag. And depression hit my ass. You know? You know. But when I got here, I still was having a problem, you know. And, you know, you keep coming to meetings, hear people in here faking and shucking and jiving and all that kind of thing. You know, and people not quite sure of the integrity of the people who stand up here at this podium. So I saw a couple of people that I had, you know, oiled with, was on 14th Street with, and they was here just standing up at podiums. I said, now I know they lying. You know, because I remember them. You know, this is one of them, you know. If you had seen her, you wouldn't believe nothing she said. You know. But anyway, except that I stole it. Yeah, she did that. But anyway, I had a problem with my belief system, you know, and I questioned everything. So one of the things that I took the opportunity of doing when I came to Narcotics Anonymous, I had to challenge NA about the integrity of the whole entire program. So I researched it, right? If it came into being in 1953, what was the condition of the United States in 1953? I researched it. I made telephone calls. I called people. Then I started reading up on what brought about this things that we call meetings. You understand? I studied No-Trol. No-Trol is Lorton spelled backwards. That was one of the first Narcotics Anonymous programs. No, that's true. There was a movement called No-Trol, right? And No-Trol was Lorton spelled backwards. And they started meetings there, and that was the name of the meetings, you know? And I studied AA, you know what I'm saying? And, you know? And I studied the guy, Houston S., who went to the warden down in Lexington, Kentucky, and said, I think them AA steps would work for them addicts. And they started AA in Lexington, Kentucky, which was Addicts Anonymous. My sponsor was part of that movement, and they had one piece of literature. He said he called it the key, you know. So I've been looking for the key. I haven't found it yet, you know. No, I'm talking about that piece of literature. You dig? I think it can be found. It can be researched, right? And I studied some of the letters between Jimmy Kay and I forget the other lady's name who established that group, Habit Forming Drugs Anonymous. You know, and there was a lot of dialogue between Jimmy Kay, that lady, and Bill Wilson. Yeah, there was a lot of dialogue because he called us the needle users or something like that, you know. But it was very interesting literature, and the interesting thing about it is that it's not talked about in meetings. And to some people, it may be important that you discover the integrity of this information. You know, so for me, it was very critical because I started my studying on Friday night. Friday nights, you know, sitting in the Oxford House, it was time for me to relapse. I had a girlfriend who had a man, and I had a wife who had a man. It was time for me to roll, you know what I'm saying? Matter of fact, they're gonna make old girlfriend there, you know. But anyway, hello, baby. Hello. But anyway, we still here, shit. That's my buddy, you know. But that was real critical back there in those particular days. You dig what I'm saying? So, you know, when we talk about this program, you know, it's not real important, William, for me to read the literature and find out what did you get out of it. I want to read the literature to find out what was the author's intent. What did he want me to get that he couldn't stand in front of me and instruct me, and knowing that I'm not a good teacher. I'm not a good student. Right? So even if the author was standing in front of me, if he was teaching me, I still wouldn't get the point because I'm a little slow. I'm a little slow. And I figure that comes with addiction. You know, we put the periods and the question marks and everything before the sentence is even complete. We already know what people are going to say. But anyway, one of the things that Jimmy did when he was very sick, I don't know if he had leukemia or what, but he was, I think it was leukemia that he was in the hospital, and that's when he sat, and they said that he did the symbol of Narcotics Anonymous. And that's when we often talk about the base, right? The base of that symbol. And the base of that symbol being society at large and the fellowship and so on and so forth. And I was reflecting on what my base looked like. You know, and I see some members here who've expanded their base, you know, into the political structure of the District of Columbia. You know, I've looked at my family base and how that base has changed since the first day I came into Narcotics Anonymous. That base has gotten smaller. You know, there are people that were in that base that are not here anymore. I thought about the members of Narcotics Anonymous who were our teachers, and those teachers have gone on. I thought of John Mark Lyons. I thought of Common Leader. You know, I thought of Brother Rick, Big Norman, you know, and throughout the different cities that were Narcotics Anonymous in, the base is changing, you know. And I thought about our steps and how we interact with our base. How do we interact with the people who are in our lives? Because we got some people in our lives that we don't want in our life. That, you know, in the base is not all of the people who have a warm, fuzzy relationship with you. Some of them you would like for a tractor trailer to fall on their house in the middle of the night. You know, some of them we're wishing ill will towards them. You know, I got some people in my base that I will in fact cut my prayer and meditation short if the picture of them come in my mind's eye while I'm praying. Which means that I will create my own soul sickness. In the base is three groups of people. Those people you love, those people you're indifferent to. They don't mess with me, I don't mess with them. They don't say nothing to me, I don't say nothing to them. And then there's the people that you hate. So we also say, the larger the base, the higher the freedom. Is that what we say? Okay. Higher the point of freedom. Right? Well, let's talk about that freedom. Do you think you can reach the point of freedom, William, if you have those three groups of people and you set potholes for them? Do you think you can reach that freedom if you carry out some of the goals and objectives that you have in your mind? Do you think you can reach that freedom if you don't say anything and you just have silent scorn? And if the opportunity came for you to help? Would you open your mouth? Would you assist those three groups of people? Because we talk about service. And we get up at these podiums and we make it seem as though our feet have done something that our mouths can really coordinate. There's a lot of stuff that I say that my feet haven't experienced what's coming out of my mouth. So will that increase my freedom? Am I the author and the sabotager of my own freedom heights? I know I am. So the program asks me and it tells me, how many people is it in your life that you really, really love? Ain't too many folks in that category. You know, when I really think about it, ain't a whole lot of people. I mean, we hug and all that. I love you. But we ain't really talking about that. We just talking. Right? But when it really comes down to love, how many people are in your life that you really have that type of relationship with? Yeah. And even if you can identify those people, what are the circumstances and situations that will cause you to make a decision to move them from that category and put them in one of the other two? That is, they're indifferent or I hate you. So even the people we love, an addict, you know, it don't take much to make an addict move you. We come here very used to, man, he burned me. Man, she burned me. You know, it only just burned me for one bag of dope and your ass getting moved. We still bring that burn thing going on. You know what I'm saying? That's why we change sponsors. You know what I mean? I fired him. I got me somebody to help. They did something you ain't like, so they became the person that threw you the lifeline when you was drowning. When you got on the shore, they did something you didn't like, so you fired them. You understand what I'm saying? We be firing people and stuff, you know, because they did something I ain't like, said something I didn't like, so on and so forth. But my sponsor taught me, if you in a hole and the Grand Dragon of the Ku Klux Klan throw you a line, talk about racism, man, if you get out the hole. One of my best friends of the Ku Klux Klan, Jack. You understand that? You know, I talk about him all the time. I was convinced he was, right? But that dude told me one day, he said, man, you take all the money that you got, pay off everybody that you owe, what you got left is what you were. I wasn't worth nothing. And he said, if you listen to me for the next 45 minutes, I'll increase your net worth. I couldn't hear a thing the man said, but Shorty was on my shoulder yelling, man, what's wrong with you? I made an appointment with that man, right? I listened to that man. I did exactly what he said. Then I found out who the true racist was. He sit on your shoulder. He helped pull them capers. He helped put it together. He helped you deal with the people at the base. That's my real sponsor. That's the one who carried the code. He know the code. He know how it go. Yeah, your point of freedom, though, you be doing bad. You will never be free, William. Self-sponsored. So anyway, just then I talk to my sponsor, I do like this, and I get outside, I say, shit. You know what I'm saying? I'm not a good student, man. I'm not a good student, right? So anyway, I was looking at the other group of people. They don't mess with me, I don't mess with them. Right? I'm indifferent to them. For whatever reason. You know, I haven't met them. I haven't talked to them. I heard somebody who said something. You know what I'm saying? And all of a sudden, I don't establish a relationship with them based on all these things that's being said. Right? So I don't establish a relationship with them. How many people is it that I'm indifferent to, that I don't talk to, that I just see them, they don't see me, I don't say nothing to them, they don't say nothing to me? It's bigger than the group of people that I love. Quite a few that I don't talk to. And then there's the people that I wish ill will towards, that I have a strong emotion called hate. I hate them. That completes your world. Everybody is neatly placed in one of those categories. What does your base look like? Now, won't you look up? What does your freedom look like? I'm not quite sure that you got dealt a bad hand. You may be the master of your own hand. So I come back every day and I look at my base. And some of the people in my base make me nauseated. You know, it's almost like when you do a real 9-step. When you do a real one. You know, the one that you don't really want to do. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? And you've prepared yourself for that particular step. You know, you spent time with your sponsor, you've gone through the previous 8 steps, you know, it's not a fact that you do these steps so you can come talk at a podium and make a tape or speak at Ocean City. That's irrelevant. When you do the steps, it's a personal experience. You by yourself. You know, you got one person to call that sponsor, but after the sponsor leads you, it's you and your feet. And this here. And this here. The circulation of the blood increases. The heart, you can hear it pumping. Your feet is mighty heavy, and your gift of gab left. you're gonna stumble through this. You understand what I'm saying? You're gonna stumble through this if you really make the amends and restitution, right? Because most addicts are making amends without restitution. We took it, but we ain't getting it back. You know, we call that a nice step. You know, you made an amend, but you didn't replace the stuff. That's not the one I'm talking about. I'm not talking about short money. You know, we got short money, don't we? If the dope costs 20, how much we got? I'm not talking about that kind of step work. You understand what I'm saying? If you brought that short money to the step, I'm not even talking about that kind of thing. You know, that's called incomplete. You know, I have not met the conditions of the program. I have not utilized my so-called mental acuity, because addicts think they're sharper than most people, right? But if you can't complete these steps, then you are using your mental acuity to practice what? Incomplete work. You dig? So anyway, you know, here I'm not sharpening people when it calls for me to move my feet. But anyway, what does the step ask of me? The step says, for those people who I love, it asks me to decrease my demands. I'm very demanding. And when people don't meet up to my demands and my expectations, then I move them from I love you to the indifferent category. I will walk around and ignore your ass. You know, that's a terrible feeling. You're into the third day of not speaking to somebody. You understand what I'm saying? They just got moved. I don't love you right now. You in the indifferent. You don't mess with me, I don't mess with you. How many times have we been walking around not talking to somebody because of that thing? You dig? Now, all of a sudden, your indifferent category grew, your love category decreased, and it may be possible that your hate category grew. Let's talk about your freedom. You know, you know when that thing is going on, you know how bad you feel? You understand what I'm saying? You know how you can't get inspired to do anything? You know how it is when you usually fix yourself up in a certain way, but now, you know, you're a little bit, you're slacking up. You know what I'm saying? You're not taking care. It might be a little mild thing going on there, right? But what about the freedom? That's what I'm saying. You know, and my ego will not allow me to practice the steps. So the things that I'm saying from the podium, you know, is it that I'm using the podium to talk about the completion of this particular journey and this particular requirement and my total conformity and aligning my body to make this happen against the resistance? Or am I using sponsorship, podiums, and things like that to talk about failure and why I'm not going to do it? I ain't going to do it, isn't it tomorrow either? You understand? I ain't never going to do it. But I'm going to talk about it. That's all. You know, what about the freedom? That's what I'm saying. Right? Because in order to reach that freedom, you got to surround that thing with self, God, society, and service. So what we're really talking about is denial of self, right? No service, and no, what's the word that I challenged the guy on when I was suffering very bad? He said, he called it recalcitrant. Recalcitrant is stubbornly resistant to guidance, right? So now I'm in a fight with the people in my base, and I'm disloyal to the person who's going to give me the freedom. So now what does that leave? Where does that leave me? Well, for the people that I'm indifferent to, I'm supposed to acknowledge those people. Good morning. How are you doing? You know? You ever tried that? Huh? Yeah, you ever tried it? You know, I tried it. You know, after months, years, I called John Mark Lyons. He said, "Why don't you say good morning?" I said, "He done lost his mind." You know? So what I did is, when things got so bad, I was at work. It got so bad, I came in the office. You know, I was a EAS 13 in the U.S. Postal Service. Yeah, I'm a multiple convicted felon. You know, Upper Marlboro, Page County, D.C., Fairfax, Harrisonburg, Alexandria, Arlington, twice down in Virginia State Penitentiary. And they messed around and made me an EAS 13. I'd open the door, look out, and say, "Man, look at this shit." You understand? This group doing this, you know. Oh, Lord. I'm tired of this place. Hey, y'all know how you get them jobs. You understand? And when you get there, it ain't what you expected. You know how to get whatever it is that you want. But once you get it ain't what you expected. That's what I suffer from. Man, this ain't what I expected. I checked in my room last night. I got in the room. I looked at my woman. I said, "This ain't what I expected." Yeah, you know what I'm saying? You know, ain't nothing right. You know what I'm saying? Put your little stuff on, pack your little stuff, you understand? Dry. Ain't nothing what you expected. Look at your brand new car, now I need washing and shit, and you know, to take the, this ain't what I expected, you know? Maintenance, you know, I suffer from that, right? You know, what I need is more. I always need some more. You understand? I always need a bigger one. You know, this, and then when I get the big one, you don't know what happened, right? It ain't what I expected. We're talking about the freedom. So we get promoted and we get moved to these areas of responsibility, and when we get there, it's not what I expected. Living a life of unhappiness, of unmet expectation, that's me. I got to battle myself every day to be grateful, and that's the sharing our gratitude. What are you talking about? What, you can't give something you ain't got? Most times, I'm not grateful. You understand? Because I'm subjective to my own self. And at the end, when Olivia said that we're going to recite the third step prayer, right? Well, what did we say? "Take my life and my will. Guide me." You ain't guiding me. I make my own calls. See, I'm like this here. You know? See, I'm talking about me. That means I'm not teachable. I'm not going to be guided. I'm going to talk it, but I'm not going to walk it. Anyway. I'm grateful.
I'm blessed
and highly favored. Well, Mar, you say, "Why don't you tell your face?"
Yeah.
But anyway, you know, I got to say something. I'm up here. But so this indifferent thing, you know, I came back to my little good poster job. I walked in the door and I had some books in my hand. I took the books and threw them up against the wall. Bam! I was mad. You know, I had one of these well-documented cases of racism. You know, I mean, the world's all messed up, ain't it, man? And we always hide behind that bad boy. But anyway, you understand, light-skinned people, you know, dark-skinned, you know. We got to have something to put it on. You understand? It can't be your feet. Could it be my feet? Could I be trapping my damn self? Anyway. You know, put it on your mama, put it on your woman, put it on your child. Can't be me, though. You dead. You know. So anyway, I called him. He told me, won't you say something nice? These steps, man, ask us to do things that are total contrary to what we've been taught. There's a price for freedom. I might have murmured something out, you know. I lost the gift of gab. But I've learned to try to do those things. And most of the time when you're doing them, the people that you're saying it to, that didn't move them in any way, shape, or form. It didn't move them. It didn't help them. But it sure helped me. You know? It sure helped me. People you hate. People you hate has the key to the height that you can reach. A life filled with hatred can go nowhere. A life filled with hatred is lack of humility. And as you age, it's serious impact on the stress system. High blood pressure. You know, all that type of thing. You know, it makes you sick. You know, cancer. It helps it. So there's some medical aspects to the steps as well. But anyway, I hated this person. And I called Mark again. And Mark said, why don't you give him something? So I called one of my good old federal penitentiary buddies. And he told me what to give him. And you know, that gangster thing. You know, when you got people like that that's sponsoring you, let me put it this way. When you got people that you pick to give you the information that you want, right, it sounds so much better. I was just explaining to John, I said, John, let me explain to you how many people in my life right now that I hate. I got an attorney. I hate his ass. Right? He took my money, you understand, and he'll only respond to me, you know. He got 20,000. That's enough to hate a motherfucker for. You understand? And he's running con on me. Ninth Street con, you know. Then I got another attorney on the attorney. And the only reason I got the attorney because, you understand, that my bass got a little off and somebody pulled a move, so rather than to listen to Shorty, I got an attorney. Right? So now I'm getting beat by all of them. Lord have mercy. So I said, man, if I listen to Shorty, I would be what happens if you kill one, then you kill two, then you kill three, then I would be a serial killer. You know, it's mandatory if you're not sponsored by these steps and you're sponsored by instinct, it's mandatory that you have low self-esteem because you can't carry out the goals of what it takes to be unsponsored. Unsponsored means you need some murder beasts. And if you don't carry them out, you're a sucker, a punk, and a faggot. So that's there go your freedom. You's a faggot, man. Because that's who you believe in. You believe in the code of the street that you came in here with as an addict. I've never believed in sponsorship. I've never believed in God's grace. I've never believed in God's guidance. When the chips is down, everybody in NA has a boundary. Man, if that ever happened, man, up the program. Fuck that shit. I get back to prayer and meditation after I chop them up into little pieces. So that's me. Right? The only member, only reason I'm a member of Narcotics Anonymous, the only reason, is because I know that I cop. I know that right now, 28 years, right? I cop today. You understand it? To make it so clear, I went to the health food store. Yeah, and they were selling that stuff, H2 or K2. They were selling K2. And the police was in there, right? And the health food man said, have you tried this yet? And I said, well, what is that? He said, that's K2. He said, it make you, you can smoke it, and your urine stay clean and all this kind of shit. I bought it. This is about 7 months ago. I got 28 years. I bought me some. Shit. Help me improve my performance. But I could give you a headache and shit, So I never bought it in the house. It stayed in the car. And then one day, I kept pondering, when you going to take it in the house? And then I said, but damn, what you going to take it in the house? You either got to buy a pipe or some paper. So then I was messing around a little bit with my brain. You know what I'm saying? I ain't really called nobody either because I wanted to do it, you know. It wasn't until I said, well, what if next month they come out with some hair on it to make you nod, but you won't? Yeah, I traded it for some vitamin B. But it took me daggone 3 weeks to do it. I wanted to smoke that thing, man. I like dope. And if they come out with some stuff that you can keep a urine, I'm not sure of that, I won't raise my hand. Bring it over here. If I can nod ya. And keep my clean time. I got my clean. You understand what I said? Shit. I ain't that serious about NA, man. It ain't good, but it ain't no nod, I tell you that. I like nod. But anyway, this thing in that hatred piece, right? I've been here for 28 years, but I can't tell you that I've genuinely addressed the people in that category. I can say that I have done it a couple of times where people I hate, I have given them something. I've done it two or three times in 28 years, but it has not resolved all the people that are in that category or the people that I are recently transferred to that category. You with me? What are we talking? We're talking about the level of freedom that I can experience in my life. I'm talking about my base and how I interact with these people. And when I leave here on Sunday and I go back on Monday to see the people that control the degree of height that I can attain in my own personal life. It's personal. It has nothing to do with a convention. It has nothing to do with leading a meeting. It has to do with how I sleep when I'm in my bed. And if you're anything like me, I wake up in the morning and I take inventory as soon as I wake up. Do you think gratitude is in my eye? I have not woke up in 28 years and said, Pam, Pam, I'm grateful. I have a loser's personality. I wake up and I take inventory. Hell, when I open my eyes, it's not when I woke up anyway. I was there for about an hour like this. So by the time I opened my eyes, I was insulting to the Creator. I opened my eyes and when I opened my eyes, was shit. Damn. What the fuck? I probably spent that last hour coming up with a move to get something for nothing. And would it work? Would it work? You know, by the time I get to prayer and meditation, I'm asking God to be my hitman. Man, you think you can help me with this plan? Yeah. Anyway, he ain't a funny guy either. He don't help you with no plans and stuff, you know. So, it's when you get to these steps, you know, it's very interesting about the steps, right? We always talk in our literature about the quintessential spirit, right? And the quintessential spirit is one that I can recognize truth when I hear it. I can recognize truth when I see it. I can recognize truth when it comes to me in the form of knowledge of His will. Why? Because my feet has trudged the path long enough that eventually I can recognize the path of truth. But I avoid the path of truth because the path of truth is not exciting. It's lonely. Ain't nobody saying, man, you said. Ain't none of that going on in the path of truth. You dig? And it's usually requiring me to invest in my time, and I'm petty. I want all my time for me. I want all my money for me. Truth says that I use all resources for what? Knowledge of His will and the power to carry it out. So whether it's your time, your money, your talents, right? There's some of that that must be given away to serve to increase the height of freedom. Now freedom costing too much. I don't think I want none of that. Oh, Lord. When? 6'6", 58 years old, crying. Get it together, dude. Whether we want to believe it or not, we teachers. Somebody's watching us and learning from how we deal with that whole relationship. And if we teach mediocrity, somebody's duplicating it. If we teach avoidance, if we teach short money, we're teaching it to the people who are watching us and care for us. I was watching my brother come in here. He got two people with him. Right? We're teaching. We're either teaching freedom, or we're teaching the opposite of freedom. We're either teaching truth, or we're teaching a lie. What I'm saying is, the conditions that we drove down and the conditions that we got to go back to when we leave here, right? Boy, 25 years ago, the conditions wasn't like this. You understand? Yeah, to serve now, you got to have $100 just to put gas in the tank if you want to take people home. So you can tell service went down. Because gas went up. You understand what I'm saying? But we making more money, put the gas in the cup. You dig? Food is hot. You understand? Eating meetings are less. You understand the connection between connecting on the dots. That's what I'm saying. But the need is higher than it's ever been. Collectively, individually, right? We're supposed to move these steps into the base. The base includes community, work, fellowship, family. We're supposed to be going around making everything renewed. We're supposed to be cleaning up whenever somebody else is throwing the trash. That's our mission. That's our goal. That's our vision for this program. That wherever we go, things get better. What does that mean? That means that you're going to have to take a lot of hits. People are going to talk about you. People are going to just come right up in your face. It might just hit you right in your jaw. People are going to steal from you. You understand? People are going to set you up. But either you're going to rise to the point of freedom, or you become subjected to your own instincts and your emotions and your own responses. We got decisions to make. Freedom ain't free. Anybody that we've looked and we've studied and we find out what was the cost, what was the price? The price is high. The price is high. But every day, we get what? An opportunity to participate. We get that moment when we can make a choice to pay the price for the freedom or to postpone the freedom. That, to me, is what this convention embodies. That, to me, is welcome. Welcome to an opportunity to participate. The interesting thing about a welcome is there must be an acceptance. If you're welcome in, you got to make a choice. Do I want to come in or do I not? A lot of times on this path, the welcome has been presented, but I made a choice. I don't want to come in. So for the rest of this convention, you're going to get a lot of that. For the rest of your life, you're going to get a lot of that. What is that? An opportunity to come in. Make your choice. But understand that your choice is truly connected to the freedom that we seek. Have fun.